So my first question for you, Dean, is what is Terramaze doing right now? You have a new album out also called Esoteric Symbolism, and talk about the new record.
Hey, depends what you want to know. We're basically just waiting for it to come out in April.
Yeah.
So, at this point, it's just a lot of promo and, yeah, just putting some songs up on YouTube. I think there might be another song maybe in another week, which is Esoteric Symbolism, the actual song. That should be coming up pretty soon. But that's, it's pretty much what we're doing at the moment, like, all the media stuff, all the music's done. I mean, all the music's the easy bit.
Well, Dean, I have to tell you that, you know, this isn't a very common thing for me as a listener and as a music fan, but the last song on the album, In Vitro, is actually my favorite song on the album, and, you know, how would you react to somebody saying that to you?
Well, it's funny you say that, because that's possibly my favorite song that I've ever written, so it's nice to hear that. It sort of, that song started... As you can see, there's three songs that are sort of a part of the same thing. At one stage, it was going to be one massive song, but I thought that was a bit too kind of crazy, so we sort of broke it into three. So In Vitro was, it was just the last part of a heaping sort of riffs and bits that I had that was basically trying to be one song, but it was just, too much. It would have been 23 minutes, so broke it up into three songs, and it was a bit of an experiment as well, because on that song I'm actually singing a little bit. I do all the harmonies and that, but I don't usually sing much. Obviously Beth does it, most of the vocals, but the sections in that song where I'm singing, there's piano, there's strings, so we just kind of threw pretty much everything at it to see what would happen. I don't know if you picked up on it, there's a little riff at the end of the song that I think is in Darkest Day of the Symphony that's in there as well, so there's little things that tie it all together.
Well, I'll tell you what, on this new album, you guys really took everything up a notch as far as songwriting and production and everything, you know, that the first album right before this lacked. And, you know, did you think that this new record would turn out the way that it did, Dean?
To be honest, Anhedonia is not our first album. It's our first album back from... Terramaze used to exist years ago when we were basically kids, and we'd done two albums back then, so it was a long time ago. So, when I sort of basically stopped it back then, I went into writing songs for like Australian Idol and X Factor, and led all the sort of production and almost pop side of things, and so basically coming back to Anhedonia, I was writing off the heavy stuff as a songwriter, and basically my label said, maybe you should do a heavy album. I thought, well, maybe I should just do Terramaze again. So Anhedonia is basically the rebirth of Terramaze, kind of like how Pantera's Cowboys from Hell is sort of the first album people think of Pantera, but they've got, those other albums before, which, were kind of a whole different sort of band, even though it's the same.
Yeah.
So Anhedonia was just, I just had stacks of riffs, there's lots of riffs, and sort of just went, I didn't really think about it. So, and at the time, my drummer who passed away after that, we were just jamming a lot, and so I just went, okay, let's do an album, and kind of just call it Terramaze, because I wrote it's my band from 90. Five or whatever, but there was like 8-year break, so Anhedonia basically used the start of like a new beginning sort of thing. But we just did Anhedonia and got putting some stuff online, and then got a label to release it, which is Nightmare, and it done pretty well for us, so it was almost like, okay, this is what we're doing now. So, a little bit about Anhedonia, it was kind of crazy times, because we had Jeff Waters come out and he kind of helped with the production, and we went back to Canada, and we finished the album here, and my drummer passed away. So it was kind of crazy time. I was sort of just glad to get it out. More than anything, I just sort of, with that personally, for my part of my life, I just thought, if I get it out, I'll be happy, and it'll be something Julian, who played drums on it, you know, we could be proud of. And but once I realised that I love doing this style of music, I spent a lot more time constructing the songs and pre-producing songs for the new album, and basically kind of thought about the vocals a little bit more, because at the time of doing Anhedonia, I was basically just writing guitar riffs with Julian on the drums, and I mean, just sort of throwing things together, and then vocals were like a secondary thing there. But this time around, it was like we tried to use everything we know about music and just throw it all into esoteric symbolism and see what happens. So, plus it was a lot easier to do this album. I produced this with the band myself, so there was kind of no outside opinions, or there was no real time where we had to be finished. It was a really quite comfortable album to do, and so the two albums, life-wise, were very different. Anhedonia was hectic, and people passing away, and working with, you know, idols, and it was crazy. But this time around, it was a lot more settled, and we just were focused on writing the best album we possibly could. So,
well, I have to tell you that with this album that you guys have put out, Dean, you could tell, you know, you talked a little bit about the fact that you have a lot of, you're able to take a different approach to the vocals, you're able to think of everything at once, because you were writing this album, you're sitting back and taking your time writing this album, and it really shows, because I think it shows a big, I think this album shows within you guys as a band a more mature level of songwriting, in my opinion.
Thanks, man, I appreciate that. I'm kind of glad you can hear it, because sometimes you just write and hope for the best, really. Like, I produce bands for my job. That's what I do. So I hear a lot of music. So I'm really critical on our stuff. At the same time, you know, we pre-produce all our songs. So I've got like an album here of the album in demo form, which almost sounds like an album. So we know what it's going to sound like before we go in and actually record everything properly. And that, I think, was the major difference between this and Anhedonia. Anhedonia was like, here's the songs. Well, we were still writing lyrics and melodies right up to, well, just before we had to release it. It was like, let's do that. So it was a lot more hectic with Anhedonia. We just thought of music a little bit more hectic, which I don't mind, but this album's personally the style of music that I've always wanted to sort of write. But I try to hear in my head and explain to the other guys, this is sort of what I feel, you know what I mean? That's the best we can do, is just sort of try to immortalize the thing in our head and make it real. But that's the exchange, but.
You know, I listen to a lot of music, Dean, and I listen to some of the really great stuff that comes out. I get all sorts of really killer albums that get sent to me. And, you know, I'll kind of focus on your guitar playing a little bit, because I hear so many different types of influences in some of your riffing and some of your playing. And it's really hard for me to take Terramaze and really throw you into a category. You know, because a lot of you really don't have a sound like a lot of other people out there.
Yeah. But that I take that as a compliment, because I agreed. Like, I don't actually know what we sound like. I just know that that's what we sound like. You know what I mean? Like, aren't really, like, I've got, you can hear our influences, I think, but as a songwriter, and actually as a guitar player, I've never wanted to sound like anyone else. I can hear my influences myself, from like Marty Friedman and sort of Petrucci, that's in my playing, because that's what I grew up sort of learning. But it's been kind of like a lifetime goal, just to try to be a little bit original as much as we can. That's sometimes, you know, not copying what other people are doing or what's popular and all that sort of stuff. I'm really glad, and I've had a few people that have heard it. I've said the same thing, and I'm really kind of blown away that, people think it sounds unique, and that to me means a lot more than anything, really, absolutely.
Well, I'm going to give you a little question from the musician standpoint for myself, and that is, Dean, you play Music Man guitars, and I've played a couple of their basses. I've played a Bongo 6, and they have some really, really great stuff that they make, and you're endorsed by them. You know, talk about the model you use, and talk about Music Man guitars.
Music Man guitars, I've owned one for about 13, 14 years now. It was like one of my first really, really good guitars. So being endorsed by them, especially being in Australia, was just like, it blew my mind. I was just like, my goodness, sort of, because it feels like, you know, no one really knows us over here. And, I've got a stack of them here. The main model I use now is a Reflex model. I've got a customized one and another one that's sort of half customized. And I mean, they're just amazing instruments, man. They're expensive, but I mean, they're not too expensive. I think you get what you pay for with Music Man. It's you spend a couple of $1,000s on a guitar with Music Man, and that's what you get. You get a really good guitar. So, you know, I can't, like, I can play other guitars and I like a lot of other stuff, but it feels home. The guitar, the necks, just the little things about them, they're one of the last companies that actually really care about making a good guitar and not just trying to sort of get the trends or, they're amazing, man. They've been so good to me that it spins me out every day that I work with these guys, and I've got a great relationship with them. I just went to NAMM in LA and actually got to meet them all. And I mean, the owner, Sterling, he's basically the reason that I'm endorsed, and meeting him, his wife, and it's just really cool to be a part of a guitar company that just cares, you know what I mean? Like, I love the guitar so much, just the instrument itself, that working with a guitar company that, you know, they put everything into it, and they're a family-owned sort of company. It's just really cool, man. It's a little bit surreal. I used a Stingray Music Man bass as well on the album, so pretty much everything you hear is Music Man.
Dean, I'll tell you what, I've really been exploring the music scene down in Australia, and for the past year, I've really come across some excellent musicians, and, you know, I worked with one very briefly down there, and it just, you know, to me, you guys have a lot of great musicians. People think of the metal scene, they think of Europe, they think of the U.S., but I'll tell you what, Australia's got some really killer musicians, killer bands, and just a lot of really killer guitar players.
Yeah, just people I know myself, like friends and stuff. I know so many phenomenally good musicians that I would say could compete with the rest of the world just in my own town. Like, I don't know what it is, but there's a lot. I mean, there's only like 20 million people here. It's a massive place, but there's not that many people when you compare it to America. But, I know, like, at least 10 guitarists that sometimes I jam with or that, that are just incredible. Like, there's a guitarist guy called Brett Garstead who's in the fusion world. He's one of the best. And if you ask any fusion sort of players about Brett Garstead, they're like, yeah, he's just, like, amazing. And, like, fairly good friends with him. I've had a few jams with him, and he's just mind-blowing. I mean, he's been around for a while, but stuff like that, and, yeah, Roger Denardi, the drummer, I don't know if you heard of him.
Of course.
Yeah, well, he's an Aussie as well, so, I mean, he's, yeah, one of the best drummers in the world, so there's a lot of talent here. It's pretty incredible. The hardest thing is getting, you know, well, even just as a musician, just getting any sort of recognition over here, it's pretty difficult. It's a lot easier for us as musicians in Australia to get recognised overseas, because it seems like, well, say the style of music that I play is more progressive and that, but it's bigger over there than here. It's a little bit, it's quite small scene, really. Like, well, it's a bit of a metal scene, I mean, but it's not that big, I mean, when you compare it to Europe, America, even Japan. So, you know, I think the downfall with Australia is there's probably too many good musicians and not enough people that actually care about the talent that we have here. You know, and there's bands like Carnival and that are starting to really make a name for themselves overseas, and you know, they're amazing musicians. So it's a weird place.
And it's interesting because, you know, there's so many great musicians out there, and there's a lot of, not just musicians that, you know, they're amateurs or whatnot. I mean, there are some world-class people down where you're from and in Australia, and there's so many great musicians that people just never get to hear about them. It's almost like but at the same time, it almost seems like some of them are bigger outside of Australia than, you know, say in your own country.
I'm friends with a lot of the bands around here, and they're all, like, to me, they're all world class. There's some pretty, like, I just finished working on a band album called Vanishing Point. They're probably one of the bigger melodic metal bands from Australia, and they just got a new album out through AFM Records in Europe, I think. And they're a phenomenal band, amazing musician, phenomenal singer. They're probably the biggest out of the heavier bands, I would say, but still they're not that well known because, you know, we're in Australia. We're so far away from everything else. But the internet has made that. The internet's made life as a musician in Australia a lot easier,
yeah,
a lot better. So I use that to my full advantage for sure.
Let's talk a little bit about the lyrics and some of the songs on this album and some of the meanings behind them. It almost seems like you have a little bit of a concept going on, maybe not a full-blown concept, the album telling a story, but it almost seems like you have something like that going on the record.
Well, it's a tough one because the album's almost a concept album. It's all about a similar subject all the way through, and the last three songs are sort of, you know, like a... The last three songs almost sum up the whole album. But there's no real stories. The way that we write is, especially with this album, it's we want the listener to sort of dive into what we're actually talking about. I mean, it's all just our opinions and our views on a lot of the world. But the overall subject is a lot of the secrets that we really don't know much about in the world, but we know they're there. You know, the things behind the government, there's so many, like, you know, elite groups try to find this stuff, but so many people know there's so much more to just this sort of normal sort of, you know, you watch the news and you go to school and you learn what they teach you and you believe what they tell you on the news, yet it all doesn't line up. I mean, so the whole album is basically about all these things that, you know, yeah, lots of symbols and symbols that represent something, and then you find out what else it means, you know, means over here, and then you see it here, and things like, you know, Freemason groups, and what do they really do, and what do they really mean? No one really knows a lot of this stuff, so we've got to basically, each song is sort of our thoughts on a certain subject that's not very commercial and it's not very known. So, but that's sort of what the album's about, without sort of giving too much away. And it, at the same time, it's, you know, however the person hears the song and what they get from it's a whole nother thing. So it's not really like we're telling this is the way it is or this is what it is. It's like, it's basically each song is a thought about a certain aspect of, the secrets of the world and, things behind the curtain, you know what I mean? So that's, what it means, really.
So you guys getting any offers to play any shows or to do any tours or anything like that? I kind of find it hard to believe you put a record out this good that you're not going to find any. And, you know, when I mean touring offers, I'm not just maybe talking your home country or anything like that, but maybe in Europe, or maybe someone in the States wants to take a chance on you. Maybe talk a bit about some touring plans, possibly.
Well, we've had a few offers. Well, even after Anadonia, we had a couple of tour offers that were probably not the right time to, spend the money, because these days, for us, the tour, it's a lot of money just to kind of just get together really fast, and we don't mind as long as it's, something worthwhile, because at the stage we're at, we're not big enough tour on our own, so we have to sort of tour with other bands or bigger bands. But we will definitely, there's talk at the moment about touring America with another band that you might know quite well, but that's not quite sure if that'll happen. If it does, it'll be our own tour with another band. But yeah, we're prepared to tour. It's just if we can afford it. That's the sort of reality of the music industry. It's like, it's an expensive venture. But if the right thing pops up, we will definitely come to America and hopefully Europe. Japan's somewhere a lot closer to us that we're looking into at the moment, and so it's definitely the next step for us, for sure. We'll see off this album, and we can see how it goes. But
So, do you have anything really cool that you're working on? Anything really awesome, or anything down the pipe that you're working on? I know you say you record bands for a living, and maybe talk about something else, some other things you're working on right now.
A few things. Well, the Vanishing Point album, Distant Is the Sun, I think it's called, literally was the, besides the Terramaze album, just finished, that was another major album that I worked on with the vocals and some of the lead guitars and a couple of other bits and pieces. So that's probably probably one of the best albums that I've worked on lately. A couple other bands that I've worked with, a band called Bane of Bedlam, they're more of a thrash band. A young band called Exposures, they're sort of like that sort of gent sort of style, kind of like a Periphery, but not technical. They're a cool band. I've done But I did Damnation's Day, that was last year, but that was one of the cooler bands that I worked with. And our drummer plays in Damnation's Day as well, so that was kind of really cool. Yeah. And the rest of the stuff's more sort of local acts that had sort of put the things together. And I do a lot of bands that don't have, like, a lot of members, so they come in and whatever's needed, either I do or we get, you know, drummers and, you know, help other sort of songwriters build bands from doing good production songs. So, well, a lot of those little kind of projects on the go, but that's about it at the moment.
I guess for my last question now for you, Dean, and it was great to have you on, do you have any last words to say to your fans that will be checking out this interview on my show?
Well, firstly, I'd just like to thank you for having me on your show and giving it the album of the month. I really appreciate the kind words in your review as well. It was one of the first reviews we've seen, and it's blown us away that people dig our music already. So that's if you're a progressive metal fan, or cross between thrash and progressive, check out our new album.